Hey everybody, it's your boy Buzz from Bulls on Tap and Sox on Tap, brought to you by OnTapSportsNet.com. And I want to talk to you about something. These podcasts are now presented by Manscaped. If you're looking for the best manscaping products on the planet, go to Manscaped.com and browse their awesome selection. The Lawnmower 3.0 brings you 7,000 RPMs of skin-safe technology so you don't nick your balls or any other sensitive areas. Want to keep your boys fresh all day? No problem. Go and pick up the ball toner and deodorant so you're fresh all day long. Go to Manscaped.com and use promo code ONTAP to get 20% off and free shipping and handling on all your manscaping needs. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude Goose, aka Bulls Scripted, and we are here after a 124-103 preseason victory over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Before we get into this episode, be sure you go to OnTapSportsNet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at OnTapSportsNet. Follow my dude Goose at Bulls Scripted, and following me at Buzz on Tap. And anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So give us a 5-star rating and review. Goose, just before we got on the air here, you had said, you know, it was a good victory. OKC ain't all that, but it was fun to watch the Bulls kind of beat the shit out of somebody. And I got joy from it. I don't know if it's like a joy that does not matter, if it's a false type of joy, but my God, what a faux joy it was.
Oh, no, by no means a faux joy at all.
Faux joy.
by no means, a negative for a team that couldn't win consecutive games at all last year, going on a streak of any kind, whether it's a team that has three NBA players or none. It's a good feeling. We handled business. That's something that we're going to have to do this year, at least with the schedule that we've seen for the first half of the season. There's not going to be many gimmies, so when they are there, you have to take advantage. So that was extremely encouraging to see.
Absolutely. And, you know, before the game started tonight, man, I put out like a keys to the game, but I guess things that I was looking towards for tonight's game. And a couple of those things kind of came to fruition here tonight. I know that he had some turnovers, and I know that he will be more so known for this game by his scoring ability, but one of those things I put on there was Coby White tonight. I said I wanted to see some playmaking ability. Now, in the first quarter, he came off of a pick and roll with Wendell Carter Jr., okay? And old Coby would have probably taken a floater there, and I think Stacy said that on the broadcast, that Coby would have probably taken a floater there last year, but he's looking to get his teammates involved more, and he actually dished that ball off to WCJ, who then finished. He also found Lowry in stride a couple times. I know he only came away with 3 assists, but Coby White looked like a guy who was trying to get his teammates involved and trying to embrace the point guard position that he's being tasked to play now. I know a lot of people like to say that he looks like a 2. And you and I had said it kind of last year too, but I don't think we ever wrote him off. And I won't speak for you, but I know I didn't, because I want to see what he can do in that position before I, you know, become an armchair GM and say, oh, well, he can't play it because this is what the numbers say and this is what I say. So what did you think about his playmaking ability tonight? Because obviously his scoring was in fuego there, so.
No, I mean, I feel anybody who's tried to detract from Coby and pigeonholing him as a shooting guard is a little bit misled by the fact that in today's NBA, the ability to create for yourself and score is huge. It's why we've seen, before Coby kind of emerged and he was coming off the bench and he was staggered from Zach was our initiator. He wasn't our point guard, but he was our offensive initiator. If you can't create for yourself and you're not a threat from all three levels of the floor, well, it's hard to be a point guard in this league. So that is an advantage that Coby White has. And it is probably a little less natural for him to be a facilitator. But in the last 2 games, we have seen it come more naturally. He's not forcing it as much. He's looking for it. He's being aware of it, but he's not overdoing it to the point where it's detracting from his better skills at this point in his career, which is scoring. And just watching him go off is always fun. He's seeing him be more vocal as a leader on both ends this year is going to do wonders for this team because his energy is simply contagious.
Yeah, absolutely. Another key that I put on here, or not a key, but something to look for, was an aggressive Lauri Markkanen. And I know that is the 2 for 9 from the 3-point range isn't what we're looking for, and 1 for 4 from the free throw line isn't what we're looking for. But my God, Lowry knew what he wanted to do tonight. He wanted to put the ball on the floor. And I feel like, honestly, a lot of those threes kind of came in stride. There's two of them where I was upset at him for not putting the ball on the floor. But most of the time, he did. I felt like he tried giving it a shot. Obviously, more than half of his shot attempts came from behind the 3-point line. But I did feel like Lowry was a little bit more aggressive. What I wanted to see, I want him to do more. I'm not going to give him an A plus by any means. He tried to be aggressive tonight. It's just the inconsistencies that kill Lowry. I feel like he thinks about it sometimes too much. But I felt like he played pretty good defense tonight. I felt like he was trying to really crash the boards tonight. And I liked what I saw out of Lauri Markkanen.
I think the last two things that you said, the rebounding and the defense, are going to be what's key for Lowry this year. And as much as Jim was off base in his delivery on telling Lowry that he needed to get rebounds if he wanted the ball, it isn't necessarily the wrong approach. The games in which Lowry is engaged on the glass and the defensive end, we tend to see him active on the offensive end. When he's engaged early, he's engaged throughout, and while we didn't see the results that we would like to see from him tonight, the effort and the assertiveness was there. So for preseason game three, we'll take it with a grain of salt. By no means going to give him anything over a B minus C plus for his performance tonight. But the defensive intensity the last few games throughout preseason is something that I like to see from him. And I've liked the way that Billy has really staggered these rotations to where Lowry's getting a lot of different looks. We're seeing him at the five, we're seeing him at the four, we're seeing him out there where you don't really even know where he's playing because we're just so long and versatile all around that it doesn't matter. And I think that's going to be the best way to utilize him offensively and kind of hide his defensive flaws. But the Bulls' ball movement and defensive intensity overall is extremely encouraging this far through the preseason.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And again, I know a lot of people kind of not give me slack, but I'm a Lowry fan. I like Lowry a lot, but I need more from him. I need more from him. And we said that in the off season leading up to the preseason, we said that leading up to the draft. We need more from him. If he's gonna get in his own head and stand behind the 3-point line and just try to be a stationary shooter, I'd rather move on. If he's gonna be the Lowry that we saw in 20, what was that, 18, right? Or what year is it?
19.
2019. With the Lowry that we saw in 2019, where he was 19-9, and he really did succeed at putting the ball on the floor and being aggressive, and then he used his 3-pointers not as a main point of his game, was his long range shot, but it was a part of his game that helped complement who was around him, and he was able to use that to the team and his benefit. Another thing I want to bring up real quick: 16 first quarter points for Zach LaVine. I mean, do we really need to talk about this kid? I mean, do we have to?
I mean, he's
He's
the best
good.
for a player on our team, so we have to talk about him in the fact that his defense tonight on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was extremely encouraging. Means that we have to talk about things that we usually try not to talk about with Zach because it's the downside to his game in just seeing him being at the point of attack on the defensive end, whether
Very
that
true.
was something
Yeah.
him and Billy came up with together, and Zach said, hey, on the defensive end, I'm more comfortable in a one-on-one style setting where I'm at the point of attack. I'm on the lead ball handler, so I'm engaged and I'm not, lackadaisical, trying to catch my breath because I just carried the offense for three
Dude,
quarters.
that's exactly the point I was going to bring up to you too, is I wonder if he felt more engaged because of how free-flowing the backcourt is right now. And I know it's just two preseason games. I'm not freaking out about it, but I feel like Zach, he looks different. He looks, I mean, I do think he improved his game over the offseason, don't get me wrong, but he seems more relaxed, man. He's just out there balling. And that's what he's doing. And with not having the whole weight of him having to carry the offense when it's Tomas Satoransky, him, whoever's playing for Otto Porter Jr., you know, Thad Young or Lowry or Wendell Carter Jr. You know, he's not having to carry it all. Kobe White is there, and they're no one knows where the ball's going. And I feel like that's going to open other people up. But yes, to your point, on the defensive end, I was very impressed. He second quarter, I believe it was. Maybe it was no, it was the second quarter where he had that chase down, knocked the ball out. I believe that was on Alexander, wasn't it? He did that to him on a breakaway, I think. I can't.
No, that was that one was Dort.
Oh, was it?
That was
Okay.
Dort on the break.
Okay, my bad. I couldn't remember. It was between feeding a kid and, you know, trying to watch that, you know, the game in its entirety. But regardless, Zach played well on defense, and if he can string games like that together where he can score efficiently and play defense like that, no doubt, bona fide, he's making the All-Star team. I mean, you know, that's what happens there. I mean, there's not
Matt,
really going to be one, but you know.
you're gonna die on that hill this year, aren't you?
Yeah, if he plays defense, bro, yeah.
You're doubling down. All right. I mean, like I said last episode, I'm not quite there with you, but I can feel it. I can dig it.
I mean,
I ain't gonna shit on you for it.
I know it's preseason, and I'm not trying to overreact, but I do think that we saw last year. I was bitching that I thought he got snubbed a little bit last year. I know our record sucked, but I mean, 25-5 is not easy. I don't care what team you're on. He was doing that for a long time. It's not easy to do that. So if he could play defense this year and keep his scoring up and still be dynamic offensively like he is, I think it's fair that he's an all-star. But again, it's preseason, so I'm
All right. I
trying not
mean,
to freak out, you know.
no, I mean, improvements are improvements. And as long as it's something that stays consistent for Zach, there's no reason not to praise it because we know what he's going to do on the offensive end. And as we touched on briefly, or maybe even extensively to a point, not having to be this world beater on the offensive end because it is more equal opportunity and we're seeing more ball movement and opportunities for other players. And Zach not having to work as hard for his points, being the beneficiary of a lot of catch and shoot attempts from the 3-point line. He's getting to conserve energy on offense that we haven't seen Zach been able to do the last 2 seasons. By the time he gets down to the other end of the floor and he's got to defend the best player on the other team, that's a lot to ask out of somebody who's not known as a two-way player. So hopefully the decreased workload that he has on the offensive end allows him to be as attentive as we've seen him in preseason on the defensive end.
Right. And one thing I do also want to point out before we get into these last two major topics of the game is I feel like Zach and Kobe playing off the ball on each other is going to improve this offense so much too. I really do. I mean, fucking watching Zach off ball, if he keeps improving at that and then he can initiate the offense with Kobe, it's going to be crazy. There's a quote from Billy Donovan right now. Donovan liked how Kobe White started the game in the first half, then got more aggressive in the third quarter. Donovan noted that sometimes White needs to be the last one to eat. And I love that quote because it's White's job to go out there to help initiate this offense. And then you got another guy on the court in Zach LaVine that can kind of help do it too. In this era of positionless basketball, you know, I'm all for this. Now, two other things I want to get into. Try not to be a hater here. Try not to be a hater here. Wendell, it's okay. You did all right on the defensive end tonight. I'm not mad about that. But where I am upset is the hesitation he had on a wide open corner three tonight. I think he's already in his head that he's not making these shots. So,
Yep, he's 1 for 11 in preseason, and now he's starting to get on himself.
yes, and where you need, what I think he needs to do is, hi, let's move in a little bit, man. Let's get these, like, you know, 15 to 18 foot, you know, like let's not go nuts here. Let's get that mitty going because we know he has it. We watched it happen before, so let him take it at a, you know, at a higher clip. You don't have a dick with ears now telling you that you can't shoot mid-range jump shots anymore.
No, we
I mean
see
that was,
Otto Porter, Kobe, and
yeah.
Zach, and obviously those are probably the three best mid-range shooters on the team, and Patrick Williams as well, carving out his comfort zone there. But you don't have those handcuffs on anymore. You're allowed to shoot in the mid-range when it's the right shot and it's not early in the clock. So, no, especially in the corner, when it's the top of the key, I don't mind you setting a little rub screen, handing the ball off to somebody, and moving the offense along when there's a lot of time left on the clock. I don't want you jacking threes from the top of the key. But when you're wide open in the corner, That should be your comfort zone.
You gotta
That's
take
where
that.
I want you. That's where I want you launching. And I guess we might get some comments for being hypocritical after the first game, with him shooting more threes than anybody on the team. But
I don't think it's hypocritical. I think that if it's
something, oh no, it's not. It's situational, is what it is.
Right.
And but no, definitely don't want to see the regression there. Got to keep pulling the trigger, because if we're ever going to see more, which we did see some of tonight, I think he finished with three assists.
Yeah.
Maybe it was
four. It was three assists. He passed the ball really well tonight, and he did a lot of little things. His help defense was tremendous tonight. He only had one block, but he was bothering guys trying to get into the paint. Wendell is a good defender. We know this. Like, I mean, Wendell's a good defender, no doubt about it, but he can initiate an offense too. He really can move the ball.
If he could shoot the fucking ball, he'd be able to initiate the offense so much better, because he wouldn't be getting the Ben Simmons treatment. So
very
hopefully
true.
Him and Billy will have that talk, like, hey, top of the key, take a step in or two, more comfortable range, until you get your feel and you get more comfortable with these shots throughout the season, and then we can expand your range there.
Right.
Stick to the corners, high top of the key, just inside. You know, find your comfort zone. We're not trying to deter you from what you're good at. We want you to pull offenses out here. We want their big man all the way out defending you and you facilitating for us.
Right.
That's only going to happen if you can put him in the hole.
Right. Absolutely agree. Absolutely agree with that. Now, just to read the stat line off for Wendell, he was 3 for 8 tonight, 0 for 3 from the three-point land, but he did have 6 boards, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block, no turnovers, only 1 foul for Wendell. So that's a really good thing. Especially cuz the defense that he was playing in the paint. Now, this is like one of the coolest parts we get to talk about. Patrick Williams got his first start tonight since high school. That was from Casey Johnson. That's pretty fucking cool. His first start comes in an NBA preseason game since high school. I just think that's really cool for the kid. He's not really ceasing to amaze me right now, which is pretty cool. Again, I ate crow. I got all mad. The whiskey pissed me off even more. I wanted a big bang. I wanted something different and outside the box. It didn't feel safe. But AK and Mark Eversley, like Stacy said on the broadcast, I think Stacy kind of alluded to this draft not being as strong because he said a diamond in the rough. You know, Patrick Williams looks very, very polished for a 19-year-old young man. I'm 29 and I don't have my life put together like he plays basketball. That's for fucking sure, man. Like the kid is, he's very smooth with his jump shot. He could just step right into it. He had a fucking offensive board. And then I put, like, just a put-back slam. It was, like, effortless jump. And, I mean, it was an awesome dunk. He had 7 boards tonight. He had 13 points on 6-for-9 shooting, 1-for-1 from the three-point line. As much as we've been gushing over Patrick Williams, I'm going to gush over the guy that went to the bench in favor of him. And that's Otto Porter Jr. Otto went 3-for-7 from the field, but when he came in, he was hitting some middies. He had 12 boards, 4 assists, only had 1 turnover. He was plus 19, and he only had 8 points, but he was a guy that really kind of helped that second unit along. And I'll tell you something right now: if Patrick Williams does land the starting job, and this is the starting lineup going into the season, I'm pretty comfortable with Tomas Satoransky and Otto Porter Jr. coming off the bench. I think that's a pretty decent little bench lineup, especially when you're staggering lineups too. You know, you could see Otto. You know, Otto come in for Patrick Williams or even Lauri Markkanen, for God's sake, and then you can have Satoransky come in and replace Zach or replace Kobe. I mean, it's something that's kind of cool there. So those are a couple things I just wanted to point out. I wanted to get your thoughts on Patrick Williams and Otto Porter's little flip-flop there tonight.
No, his three-pointer tonight was, without hesitation, was probably 2-3 steps back from the line. Pass was right in the shooting pocket, and he didn't hesitate. That is something that I didn't expect to see this early. The first game, we saw him take a couple that didn't look as comfortable, nearly as comfortable as he does in the mid-range. Second game we saw, I think he put in 2, one when the game counted and one towards the back end of crap time. But tonight, once again, a positive, extremely poised, extremely comfortable on the floor, and to your point, if you have a team that's this young but is talented enough to have players like Satoransky and Otto Porter Jr. coming off your bench to help carry that second unit, I mean, maybe, you go to him early and you bring out Lowry, you bring out Pat, whoever's struggling. The interchangeable pieces on this roster are actually really fun to watch. And I think the stat that I saw throughout the offseason was that the Bulls have the tallest by average team in the NBA. Seeing Billy use that to its strength and its benefit is a glorious thing. And outside of Pat Williams' poise and instant comfort level in this league, I think we're seeing Billy's impact tenfold in just the free-flowing nature of the offense, the comfortability that everyone has to get to their spots. And I don't know, it's exciting to have a real fucking coach. That's what's excited me the most about preseason at this point.
No, absolutely. And that's definitely a fair point. And just so we get, we've been doing real well on the show, and I want to thank everybody that listens to this. I feel like ever since draft coverage, our listen numbers have been going up, and people have been sharing and interacting with us more than ever before, and I'd like to thank everybody. But one thing I don't want to get twisted on my end is when I get excited about watching the Chicago Bulls, it's because I'm excited about watching my team play basketball. By no means am I talking about a fucking championship aspirations this year. I just want to throw that out there real quick. I am just excited to see the young talent develop under not a dick with ears, not a clown, like under a real head coach. Just kind of how you pointed out, you're enjoying watching how different it looks. Look at how like free. Yes, it's Oklahoma City. I get it, but you know what the problem was? The Bulls have had a very talented roster last year, and they should have beat teams that they consistently fucking lost to. You know what improving and good teams do, dude? They beat teams they're supposed to beat. Like, that's what they're supposed
And
to do.
they do it handily, so they
Right.
don't have to play the entire game, which in preseason with only four games would have been nice to have some competition in a
Right.
full game setting. But at the end of the night, kicking some ass and getting a rest before you play them again is never a bad thing. Just seeing that level of preparation compared to the first game, extremely encouraging. Looking forward to kicking our ass one last time and then carrying that over to the Hawks.
Yeah.
I think even with that preseason stretch, that would be the longest win streak. Three games, tying Jim's best win streak as a coach in his tenure with the Bulls. So we're not even going to get out of preseason, and Billy might have tied Mr. Jimbo for win streaks.
That's fucking hilarious. Couple other things wanted to point out. Hutch played really good defense tonight. I know they came in he came in -2 in the plus minus. But Hutch played one fun game. He had 11 points, 7 boards, an assist, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 2 turnovers, but he went 5 for 7 from the field. Daniel Gafford struggled. I put a tweet out there. He was just kind of looking like falling over his legs, man, at first when he first got out there, but then he had a put back dunk, and then he had a thunderous fucking facial on a homie. So I was all into that. But Gafford looked, decent after his little mishaps that he had with his body not working. I wasn't sure what was going on there with him. He looked like a cartoon character a couple times, man. He's kind of flopping all around there without anybody fucking touching him. But hey, I digress. Those are a couple things that I wanted to touch on the bench. But yeah, again, beating teams that you're supposed to beat is cool and tough. That's exactly what the Bulls need to be doing. And I know it's preseason, but momentum is very important in basketball. I truly believe that too. Obviously, anything can come to a screeching halt, but I feel like if you're beating the shit out of a team you're supposed to beat, and you're going to walk into the regular season against Atlanta, I feel like you'll be on maybe a high compared to if you lost in the preseason and look like shit the whole time, you'd probably be on a low and not be doubting yourself a little bit. So I'm excited to see what happens in this next preseason game. I wonder if the starters sit at all. I haven't seen Billy comment on anything. Obviously, you and I miss the post game show every night because we do our post game show, or not post game show, but his press conference. We miss that every night because we usually get on do our post game show right away. But I'm curious to see what happens, or if he just keeps getting these guys warmed up. I mean, you got to think a team that hasn't played since March really should probably be getting all the playing time they could possibly get heading into competitive basketball.
No, that's the comment that we got from Otto Porter before the game. Said, no, I'm 100% healthy. I haven't played basketball for 10 or 11 months. I'm ready to go and play as much as possible. So maybe we get a little bit more competitive game. Oklahoma City didn't play Shea or Al or many of their veterans too much in the second half. So maybe we get a closer game going into the second half to where we can get that full regular season kind of rotation feel. But if we come out and kick ass again, well, then I guess we get to take off early and get ready for Atlanta. Regardless, the change from game one to game two and three has been enlightening. I am glad to see that even with struggles from Lowry and Wendell to this point, that we're taking care of business.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, as far as this one goes, man, I got nothing else to touch on for this game. Again, we'll be playing Oklahoma City for the last and final preseason game, and I do want to throw out there that if anybody has any regular season questions, or not even questions, just statements or whatever that you want to be on the show, just tweet at the Bulls on Tap Twitter, tweet at Goose at Bulls Scripted, or me at Buzz on Tap, and let's get that going. We should definitely get a cool Bulls chat going here so we can bring it up on the next show, what we're looking for, what we're hoping to see in the regular season debut. So the Bulls play again for the last preseason game Friday. It's December 18th at 7 p.m. against the Thunder at Oklahoma City again. Other than that, I got nothing. Goose, you got anything before we ride on out here?
No, nothing at all. Just, shit, struggling for words here.
Keep Put winning and keep fucking usual. Shit up.
there we go. We'll ride with that. Stay classy, stay sexy. Let's get another one on Friday.
Absolutely. Everybody, be sure you're going on tapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So give us a 5-star rating and review. Follow us on Twitter, Bulls on Tap at On Tap Sportsnet, Goose at Bulls Scripted, me at Buzz on Tap. We'll be back Friday night with another postgame show / season preview show of Bulls on Tap. Let's go, Bulls.